Good morning. Buona dimnazza. Nazza. Shafac. Good. Just practicing my Romanian saying good morning. There was more noise from four than there was from 34. I read good morning, guys.
Morning.
Is it good to be here?
Yeah.
Okay, because you're so enthusiastic this morning, I want to ask you this question. Is there a difference between a believer and a disciple?
Yeah.
So get into twos, talk about it, then you're going to explain it to me, okay? That's the question. Get into twos. Is there a difference between a believer and a disciple? Not threes or fours, twos. And if you're on your own, come see me, Silvanus. Dave's on his own over there. So put your hands up if you think a believer is different to a disciple. Good. So you have been listening over the last five preaches, some things. And you will be pleased to know that today is my last talk on what is and being a disciple. And I just think this morning we just have a great God, don't we? The great Yahweh. We've been singing and hearing and the access we have. And the power in the name of our Lord Jesus, who's here to set us free, was with God in the beginning, came down here and walked on this earth and showed us the way back to God and showed us what actually a disciple is. And I want to challenge you, first of all, this morning, as Angela said, the devil believes in God. A lot of people believe in God, and there is a difference between someone who believes in God who is actually a disciple of God. And the first step of that is actually, if you don't know God, if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Saviour, you will never completely understand anything unless you give your heart, first of all, to Jesus. And that's a commitment, and it's a big step, and it's the first step of faith. But once we take that step, that is when our journey with God continues and Jesus then wants us to be a disciple. And Jesus told us in his last words before he went back, he said to his disciples, therefore. And that word therefore is such a big word because it means we've got to take attention to that. Go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And for years I kept looking at that passage, go. I just thought, yeah, we just go, share the gospel, get people saved, hallelujah. But there's more than just going. That word make, we must make disciples, and we must teach them obey. So if you put the word go, make, disciple, obey, we are being obedient to Jesus. And how often do we do that totally in our walk? Because I have been really challenged on this passage. And it's living with me. And I've been asked to go to Romania in a few weeks' time. And I finally got a confirmation yesterday what he wants me to do. He said, would you do a series on discipleship? So, praise God. I'm going for the first time in history knowing what I'm going to preach on. So, prayers are answered. And I've practiced it, yeah. But as we continue to move as Christians together this year in 2015, I believe there is this need to truly examine our hearts and our lives and say, how well are we doing as disciples? How committed are we to the will and purposes of God? Or do we just purely go through some actions? Are we really hot for God? Are we lukewarm? Or are we cold? I know where I'd like to be, on fire for God. But there are times in our walk with God, being truthful, we can become warm, even cold. But God wants us to be hot for him. He wants us to be on fire for him. Because Jesus wants disciples today, not just numbers of people who attend a Sunday meeting. So as disciples, each one of us, my final point in my talk is personal accountability. What does that mean? Because what we do with our lives affects others, not just ourselves. And it's actually an attitude of independence which stems from the fall rather than from God. Accountability, therefore, is a sense of obligation to others. And if we understand this, it will help us to eagerly give a reckoning or explanation for our daily actions. And if we recognize our actions, it will affect other people. And accountability is sought by those who do recognize this and understand it. It will help each one of us to pursue our life's course with God, not on our own, but with other people. Those who recognize God's provision for others, for their well-being, will have no problems in being actually accountable. And accountability is different than to someone who is being answerable. You see, being answerable involves a willingness to answer questions if and when asked, like I asked you that question this morning. But accountability, I believe, means a willingness to totally open up of oneself without having have to be asked to be opened up. It's something in our hearts. Yes, I want to be accountable. I want to make myself accountable. So who are we accountable according to Scripture? Well, first of all, in Hebrews 4:13 and Romans 14:12, we are accountable to God. Even though he knows everything that we are doing and saying, we still have to be accountable to God. And if you read those two scriptures, you will see. Secondly, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:21, we must be accountable to each other. Being a part of a church implies we agree to be accountable to one another. Because it's good in the right setting to be able to expose our own weaknesses with others. Because none of us are perfect. Thirdly, we are called to be accountable for those you care for. That could be your family, anybody that you lead, your children, somebody who is sick, whoever you care for in this world, you're actually accountable to them. Because you're concerned about their future. You're concerned about their well-being. Fourthly, we are accountable, believe it or not, it could be sad in some cases, to the civil authority in this country. Romans 13, just read that passage. We might not always agree with the law of this land, but God commands that we actually obey it. See, the church should present good accounts, be up to date with rules, regulations, and comply with them. And as individuals, we should complete our tax returns, expense sheets, accurately give an account of our time and energy, the Bible tells us. Fifthly, church oversight. In 1 Thessalonians 5:12 to 13 and Hebrews 13 and 17, it talks about respecting and being obedient and willingness to be led are part of God's instructions. Leaders are accountable to God for the decisions that we make. The church is accountable to God for how we obey God's instructions and how we work them out. So as a church leader, we are responsible for everybody in this room. That's why we run a building belonging course, because we want to know who's a part of this family, because we have to give an account to God for you. You give an account to God for your actions, how we preach and teach and what we're saying. And you have a right to challenge that if it's not godly. That's why we always say, whatever we say, check it out with the Bible. If it doesn't say it in the Bible, we're preaching wrong words. So, what are the main purposes and benefits of being accountable in those various ways in which I have just shared about? Could you just go back one, Ryan? Think of that question. What are the benefits? So, talk to your partner again. What are the benefits of who we are accountable to? So would you say there is a benefit of being accountable in different areas? Because I believe, you know, one of the points is it's a motivation for rewards. It encourages change. It reminds us we are managers, not owners. It enables us to be all encouraged. It allows people to be rebuked, exposes wrong attitudes. And it means that people would not get missed out easily if we're accountable to other people. It prevents selfishness. It earns respect, prevents pride and arrogance. It encourages humility. It keeps us all on the same level. It stops heresy and superstars. It helps avoid traps, particularly dangerous ones for leaders, money, sex, power. It's a stable society. It affects God's reputation, wins others' behaviour, models God's order, authority and submission, enables leaders to get on with their primary tasks, it promotes growth, it defines responsibilities, leaders lead, people obey and prevents disillusionment. That is just some of the benefits that I wrote down of us being accountable. And you will be pleased to know, if anybody wants my series on this, I've actually produced a worksheet, a book, for anybody who wants to do discipling. So I believe it is very important. There are benefits of us being accountable to others. And when I look at the scriptures, the Bible tells us that people like Samuel really helped Saul. Jonathan really helped David as a friend. And other people can help each one of us, I believe, in these following ways. First of all, we become less likely to stumble into traps. We naturally see everything in life one way, I believe, our way. However, we open up to somebody else and talk about our lives spiritually to maybe a more mature person, they may see things that we don't actually see. And they may help us in lots of different ways, because they don't want us to fall into a potential trap or issues because we don't realise that they are there. And Proverbs 13:10 says this, pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Secondly, we are more able to see the bigger picture because our friends are more aware of some aspects or a situation. They might gain depth and perspective, and they might find one scenario or possible solution by which we ourselves on our own can't find, because we need someone to help us. And Proverbs 27:17 says this, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And I believe you can add, one lady will help sharpen another as well, not just the word man. We are less likely to pursue sinful and unwise actions. As we make ourselves accountable and vulnerable to others, we are less likely to fall and excuse ourselves about the following the wrong desires of our hearts. Accountability can help us reduce the risk of sinning. See, we need to know what God is saying to us. We need to hear what our brothers and sisters say to us to help us to walk with God. Because it says in Proverbs 27:6, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Because sometimes we just want to hear what we want to hear. We don't like the truth because it challenges us. Also, we are helped to break bad lifestyles and issues. See, with accountability, I believe we are more likely to be helped in correcting with our ingrained habits and lifestyles that need correcting. Because we're all born in a sinful world with a sinful nature, and we have our own ideas. We need help with that. And research has shown that it takes 28 days to form or to break a habit. Someone to stand with us in these areas can provide, I believe, extra incentive and motivation. So what kind of issues can arise in life whereby accountability may help us progress? What areas do you think? I've broken down three subtitles: health, spiritual, and lifestyle issues. So again, talk to your partner and share what sort of things in those three categories we might need help in. Because actually you're being discipled this morning and you're making yourself very accountable to your partner, believe it or not. Well, with spiritual issues, I put down time with God, reading the Bible, praying, witnessing, basic things. With lifestyle issues, laziness is a big one, serving God, being a good parent, husband or wife, and some people's lives, overspending. These are areas that, and there's loads more, I've just picked a few, that we do need help with. So if we recognise that we do need help, what attitudes should we have in order for accountability to work in our lives? So my first point was willingness. See, we cannot impose that. It's got to be desired. There's no point trying to hold someone accountable who has no intention of either listening or acting upon advice given. A lack of willing accountability is the major reason why people continue from one year to the next year without ever changing. Okay? Members not taking their own responsibility to change and grow can and does seriously hinder church growth and development. It's not the elders' job to change people. Those most likely to grow in God are those who actually request accountability and discipleship rather than being asked, do you want it? So first of all, it's a willingness. Secondly, it's a relational foundation. The best accountability takes context in the place of true friendship, with all parties being accountable to each other in different ways. Because I believe friends find it easier to open up. And a good test of whether you really do have good friendships is measured by the fact that you can share anything with those people and receive correction, knowing nothing else goes out of that room and it doesn't harm your relationship with that person. Thirdly, honesty. See, we've got to be honest with one another, both ways round, the person being discipled and the disciplee. Fifthly, speaking truth in love. As I said, there must also be honesty from those we are accountable to. Just saying the right things, flattery, or just concentrating on someone's good points may make for a quiet life, but it won't help the person concerned change. But we do need tact and wisdom. You don't go in like a bull in a china shop. But if we really love that person, we'd want the best for them. And I found this ancient Chinese proverb, and if someone can explain it to me, I'd really like the explanation. It says, do not use a hatchet to remove the fly from your friend's forehead. Sorry?
Don't be blunt, use your finger.
Any other interpretations of it? It challenged me, that. Because I thought, well, if we don't never correct someone, they will not move on. But I just didn't get this point of a hatchet, because the hatchet to me is like, you don't need to move, I suppose, the head. But it made me think. If I love those people, I will not be afraid to say anything in love to them because I want the best for them. I probably won't go in with an hatchet and say, or a mallet. Regular commitment, okay? Accountability will not work unless we meet up regular with the people. And the more we meet up with them, we can make them each other accountable. Well, how did you do with that situation? If we don't see them for 6 months, you've probably forgotten where you're at in that discipleship with them. So how are you doing with that area of your life? So there's got to be a regular meeting up. And so there'll be more emphasis on encouragement in a person's life the more regularly we meet than people going through lots of different crises. So how should it be? Accountability be practiced? Well, I think, as I say, there's lots of ways. There's the individual way. I think in your growth groups, where it's a small group, that we need to learn to be more accountable in our groups to one another because it's a smaller setting. And I say it's good to be with friends to do it. And maybe it's something in our growth groups when we meet back to ask each other one night, how can we be accountable to one another? So that we all mature and become the disciples that God wants us to do. And that's been my own personal thing over this last 3 or 4 months. You know, I meet with several people in this fellowship who have asked me because they want to be accountable. And I always make sure I'm accountable to my leaders and also to Colin and Paul outside. I regularly meet with them for my own personal accountability with my oversight because I know the importance of accountability. And if we all become accountable to each other in this church, I think things would change a lot different. So how can you account to be accountable to someone? What can we do? How can we do it? I've come up with it's called the Obedient Christian Life in Action Will. When Ryan puts the mic, put it up. That'll come up in a minute. It's a will. Yeah. I don't know whether we can go to the next one, Ryan. It might be a bit clearer. Right. As you can see, it's just an ordinary will, but on this will, Christ is the centre. The obedient Christian life in action is the hub. It's Jesus. And the spokes going are all different parts of the fellowship. So The hub is Christ the centre. The rim is being obedient to Jesus. The vertical dimension is how we relate to God, which is the word spoken, prayer. The horizontal line is actually the fellowship and witnessing. So during the week, I met up with some people and I asked them, how was their walk with God based on those four points? Meeting up again with them in 4 weeks' time to find out how that is going on. How is their prayer life? How is their reading the Bible? Their witnessing? Very simple questions where we can be accountable to one another. And also, I've produced a couple of pages of notes of certain questions that you can ask people. And also some sheets of paper for a log or a diary, so that each week, each month, you fill in a log or a diary. So then when we meet up again, we go through those things. So it's practical to help each other. So we are in an experimental stage. I'll probably let you know in about 2 months' time whether it's working okay. But it's just good to have something wrote down. Sometimes you don't need that. It's just a hand, something to say. If you want copies of that, please feel free. I have loads of copies of those, and I have this workbook. So there are lots of ways that we can be accountable to one another. God calls us to be accountable to one another. God calls us to be accountable to Him first of all. So accountability is a very important part for making a believer into a disciple. Because I know we all have issues. We can all fall into sin and temptation. All those lists that He gave us about drinking, smoking, overweight, all those lifestyle things are things that every one of us can fall into a trap. And that God wants others to help us to overcome those areas in our lives. God wants it so we will grow into full maturity. We do need each other. So do you want to be a disciple this morning? A true disciple? Do you want to disciple others as well? With who, when and where is the question. And as we said in the beginning, is there a difference between a believer and a disciple? Because Jesus tells us to go and make disciples of all nations. Teach them to obey. See, we might want someone saved, but do we teach them to obey the word of God? And just remember this, being a disciple does not start with us. It starts with God. It starts with Jesus, because it's Jesus chose us. We did not choose him, Matthew tells us. And then he says, come, follow me. Jesus chooses us. We've heard this morning, Jesus was there with God in the beginning. He's here now with us today, all a part of his plan. He chose those first 12 disciples, then the 72, then so on, right throughout history. And in 2015, he chooses us as his ordinary people. And he gives us a command to obey him, to complete his mission. And he said in John 8:31, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. The purpose of the church that Jesus told us is to make learning believers, men and women, whose lives reflect a deep commitment to love the Lord for Jesus, his word and his people. Billy Graham said, salvation is free, but discipleship costs everything we have. So today, do you think we're actively helping each other to grow in this clear and critical purpose for the church to reach the ends of the earth? with good news. Make disciples. I just hope that these last 5-6 talks that I've done on discipleship has helped us to understand clearly what a Christian is, as Jesus defined it. Apply it to our lives. And the question is, we really got to ask ourselves today, am I able to follow Jesus completely? But am I willing to follow Jesus completely? We might be able, but are we willing to follow Jesus completely? So, are we followers? Are we believers? Are we just regular attenders? What does it mean for us today? What ways can we apply discipleship to our lives? But how can I make other disciples? How can I help make disciples? Ask yourself that question, because that's the question I'm asking myself. And where can I go to make disciples? And how can I teach them and myself to obey God? Because Jesus calls disciples. He wants disciples. And the challenges of a disciple is our lifestyle, to be a learner, a follower, leaving things behind, sacrifice, and being a servant for God. And one day, we will hear those wonderful words, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. We all have a personal responsibility and accountability for ourselves to Jesus, for what he's done for us by his amazing, wonderful, saving love and grace. He wants us to grow into full maturity in him. But we need others on that path to encourage us and help us and disciple us. We have a responsibility and accountability to each other. We are a body. We are a family with God-given gifts to advance his kingdom here in Blackburn in the year 2015. As Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Brothers and sisters, there's a dying world out there that needs to hear the good news, so that people will have a future. They will have a hope. They will have salvation. Jesus' call this morning is to reach out and make disciples of all nations. Are you ready? Phil Marina, Friday, Gideon's. Just by placing a Bible, he's going to make disciples. Maybe you need to go along, see what's going on to help support them. Maybe this morning you've never, ever asked Jesus into your life. To become a Christian, to become a disciple, you will need to take that first step this morning. And you can choose this morning to start life anew by giving your heart to Jesus, making that step as a disciple. If you don't know Jesus this morning as your Lord and Saviour, if you've never opened up your heart, it will be the best thing you've ever done. It's a bit scary. It's a bit frightening. But Jesus is here this morning with the power to save and the power to heal, to set captives free, to break the chains. Do you want that this morning? Do you want to be obedient to what God's calling us? Amen. Just going to pray for us and then ask Pete to come back up. Father, we just thank you for your call upon our lives. We thank you, Father, that you want each one of us to be a true disciple. You want each one of us to be a follower, a learner, a servant, a giver, whatever, Lord. We want to be your disciples because we know the benefit of it. So, Lord, I pray you'll help each one of us to become true disciples, not just a believer, but disciples. Would you challenge us? Would you put friends in our way, Lord, that we can help each other to grow into full maturity with you? And that together we can go to the nations to see people being saved and added. And Lord, you know this morning there's anybody here that doesn't know you. You know all about their life, their dreams, the things that's good, things that's bad. We thank you that you died on the cross for each one of us, Lord, for the forgiveness of our sins. And we thank you that you're here this morning to break the chains, to set the captives free. Would you do that this morning, Lord? Only you can do it. We give you all thanks, praise, glory and honour. And just thank you that you chose me, that you chose everyone in this room, and the privilege of that, and being able to have an access to the Father because of what you've done and you choosing us. We're on the winning team. We have a future. We have a plan. We have a hope. And we know one day we will be with you in heaven, Lord, because of what you've done for us. So be glorified in our lives, Lord. Use us to advance your kingdom powerfully. And I ask it all in your name and for your glory. Amen.
Amen.